Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Stories of deep division within the Labour Party have appeared in this morning's papers, with the Sunday Times reporting calls for two of Jeremy Corbyn's closest advisers to be sacked. Andrew Marr spoke to the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, rumoured to be one of the dissenters, about the allegations.
Can I ask you directly, Have you said to Jeremy Corbyn that he should sack Seamus Milne and Carrie Murphy?
I've not said to sack anybody. Look, it's July. What happens in July in Parliament? Journalists, the lobby, stagger from reception to reception, drinking some of the most nauseating wine that ever been produced from a grape. What then happens? They exaggerate and invent stories. And that's what's happened here. In terms of the Sunday Times story about any splits between me and Jeremy, it's myth, it's rubbish.
Have you not been frozen out a bit from meetings?
Not at all. Look, you don't know. Jeremy and I go back 40 years. We're the closest of friends. Mm. We've minded each other's backs all the way through that period, and we always will.
And you have full confidence in Seamus Milne and Carrie Murphy?
I have the confidence, and of course I do. I've not told anyone to be sacked or anything like that. This is all myth. But let's make it clear, Jeremy and I talk about policies on a daily basis. Yes, we'll disagree on things, but we'll then come to an agreement. He'll build consensus, just as he always does, and then we back each other up.
So you don't feel like Diane Abbott, apparently, that he's been held captive by his office?
I don't believe that's what Diane Abbott has said anywhere, but let's make it absolutely clear. We're facing a general election in September. We're going to come to a decision, I think, sooner rather than later with regard to our Brexit position. We've got a huge domestic agenda that we want to promote, and I think we'll surprise people in the election just as we did in 2017, and we'll go into office as a united party.
McDonnell also made clear where he would stand if Labour managed to secure a second referendum and why Jeremy Corbyn didn't appear to be showing as much enthusiasm.
Tom Watson, Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, has been promoting a kind of sign-up referendum motion. And what he says in this, as the party of Remain, we will not take every voter with us, but it's the only way that Labour can win. The next step needs to be a public vote on the Brexit fiasco, with Labour leading the way for Remain. Is there a syllable there you could disagree with?
Not an awful lot. I think Tom's expressed his view. What I've said is, Jeremy has made it clear we're going to go back to the people, and he said a referendum as well. I've said in the discussions, when people have asked me, what's your position? I said, well, actually, we have to be straight with people now. Haven't been able to get the deal we wanted. So I would vote Remain. I'd want to campaign for Remain as well.
Could you sign up to that declaration yourself?
Well, I think a lot of the sentiments in that declaration I've echoed already. But what Jeremy's doing, and this is
the question.
Yeah.
When is Jeremy Corbyn going to come out full throat and say, Remain, we're the party of Remain, vote Labour for Remain?
Okay. We need to express a view now, which is clearly, as I said, I will vote Remain. I want to campaign for Remain. And what Jeremy is rightfully doing, and this is one of the differences between us, I just say, let's get on with it. Jeremy is much wiser, actually. He says, let's talk to people, bring them together, build consensus, and then go for it. And that's what he's doing at the moment, and he's talking.
But you've almost run out of time,
well,
hasn't you?
That's the issue. No, that is the issue I've said to Jeremy, because if Boris does call a general election in September, we won't even have a conference to decide these matters. That's why we need to decide early and get on with it. And that's why he is talking to people now to bring them together.
Does now mean that we might get a clearer shift of position this week, do you think?
I think he's got further meetings with the trade unions over the next week. There'll be further discussions in Shadow Cabinet. Look at that timetable. I actually think he's doing the right thing. I think he's most probably... Everything about Jeremy is about building consensus. And I think on this issue, you need to bring people with you.
Marr's next guest was the Justice Secretary, David Gawke. Gawke said his concern about a no-deal Brexit meant his future as a cabinet minister was uncertain.
I think there are very significant downsides for the UK if we leave without a deal. I think there's a lot of talk about we need to prepare for no deal. Well, one of the things that we would need to do is prepare the British people for the realities of no deal. I don't think all of my colleagues have been perhaps as candid about that as they might have been.
Boris Johnson, he's going to sack you, isn't he?
Well, I suspect that I will possibly have gone before then.
Really?
If Boris's position, assuming that he wins, if Boris's position is that he is going to require every member of the cabinet to sign up to being prepared to leave without a deal on the 31st of October, to be fair to him, I can't support that policy, so I would resign in advance.
Mass protests in Hong Kong over a proposed extradition law with China have hit international headlines, as Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has called for strategic ambiguity in the UK's approach to China's response to the protests. Ma spoke to the Chinese ambassador Liu Xiaoming.
This has been a very, very angry row by diplomatic standards. Jeremy Hunt is still threatening further, sanctions and so forth against China if it goes on. Is this a moment when British-Chinese relationships are in real crisis?
I don't think so. We are not interested in diplomatic role with the UK. We are still committed in building stronger relationship, partnership. The golden era started by President Xi. I still remember the last time you interviewed me was before President Xi's visit in 2015.
Yes.
And we are still committed to this golden era between our two countries. But I cannot agree with the some politicians' description of the relationship. Even they use the so-called strategic ambiguity. I think this language does not belong to the vocabulary between China and UK. It's a Cold War mentality language.
Sophie Ridge interviewed the International Trade Secretary, Barry Gardner. Gardner tried to row back from Labour's previous ambition of calling a no-confidence vote in the government the day after the Prime Minister takes office.
If you want a general election then, can you commit that Labour will call a no-confidence vote in whoever becomes Prime Minister before MPs break up for the summer recess?
We'll call a no-confidence vote when we believe that those Conservative members of Parliament who have said that they would support a no-confidence motion in the government in order to stop a no-deal are likely to support it.
Are you having those conversations with them, then?
Of course. Because the key thing here is, and look at what a no-deal would entail.
That means it's likely to be, but from what you're saying, it sounds like it's more likely to be in the autumn.
Well, I don't know, because I can't read the minds of those Conservative MPs who've said that they're prepared to do this.
Gardiner also defended his party's use of non-disclosure agreements after former staffers spoke to a BBC documentary about anti-Semitism and were reportedly threatened with legal action.
Reports that around half a dozen former Labour Party staffers are going to go against gagging orders to talk to Panorama about their concerns over the way complaints are handled in the Labour Party. And the Labour Party is allegedly going to sue them. I mean, I thought you were the party that were on the side of workers.
We absolutely do not use gagging orders to hide anything that is illegal or improper. We use gagging orders only to stop former members of staff from leaking confidential information where we have an obligation to protect individuals. And from doing that in a party political or a partisan way for political purposes. So let me be clear about that, because actually we have suggested that there should be legislation, and we have actually as a party said that we would bring in legislation where we see companies using gagging orders, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, to cover up anything that is, like racism or sexual abuse or illegal practices in the workplace.
So wouldn't concerns over anti-Semitism fall under that very legislation then? Because it's discrimination.
Yeah. I welcome any objective, impartial investigation that is going to help us to get rid of anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. Let me make that absolutely clear. But my understanding is that it has not been the sort of impartial, objective view that I certainly would welcome to help us get rid of the anti-Semitism that sadly does exist in a very, very small minority of cases in the Labour Party.
The former Conservative leadership candidate Sam Gyimah told Ridge that a new Prime Minister should not underestimate the size of the Tory rebellion against a no-deal Brexit.
If we get to the end of October and the Prime Minister, whoever he is going to try and take the UK out of the EU without a deal, will you try and stop them?
I have always voted against no deal, and I will continue to do so. And not just me, I think there are a lot of MPs on the Conservative side.
So how many do you think? Enough?
Across
how
the House of Commons. Well, I think there is a significant number that will vote, that would use legislative options to do two things.
I mean, is that like less than 10? Is that more like 30? I mean, what gives a bit of guidance?
I think you're talking about 30 plus.
And finally, Ridge asked Dominic Raab, another former Tory leadership contender who is now backing Boris Johnson, if an early election to increase the government's majority was on the cards.
We all know how difficult the parliamentary arithmetic is when it comes to Brexit. Do you think that Boris Johnson might call a sneaky election in the autumn to try and change the numbers?
No, I don't think so. I think it's unlikely. But look, you know, you need to ask the team, and I think it's difficult to deal with hypotheticals, but I think it's unlikely. The reality is, leaving the EU is set as the default mechanism in legislation by the end of October. I think it's much more difficult than people are suggesting to try and overturn that. That is the will of Parliament, reflected as the default position.
Although it happened
law.
On the 29th of March, didn't it? I mean...
Well, sure, but the thing that will have changed is that we'll have, and I believe it will be Boris Johnson, a prime minister, that is absolutely clear that he is going to lead this country out of the EU at the end of October.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.